These 5-volt DC stepper motors are inexpensive, readily available, and as you'll see in this video, easy to drive with the Arduino. My name's Brett Statham, and this is The Maker Show. Just over a year ago, in January of 2015, I posted a video on YouTube where I talked about the internal workings of these 28BYJ-48 5-volt DC stepper motors and the ULN2003 Darlington array boards that you typically get to drive them with. And the video was way more popular than I expected it to be. But at the end of that video, I promised to come back and show you how to specifically drive that motor with an Arduino and a Raspberry Pi and some others. Well, I never did that. So I'm going to rectify that here today. I'm going to show you how to drive this motor with an Arduino. And at first, I'm going to show you how to manually code the wave driving, full stepping, and half stepping methods that I fully discuss in that first video. And if you don't know what those are, you should go back and watch that video. I'll post a link in the show notes. But then I'll talk about that unless you have a reason to specifically code that, you'd probably rather use a library. So I'm going to be demoing the Excel Stepper Library by Mike McCauley, and we'll use that to get your motor turning. So first of all, again, I mentioned that I had posted this video up on YouTube. It goes through all the details of how this motor works and how it works with that ULN2003 driver board. I highly recommend that you watch it if you haven't, because it'll explain concepts like wave driving and full stepping and half stepping that I'm going to demonstrate in this video. So you can check that out at http://aka.ms/28byj. So as you're hooking the motor and the driver board up to your Arduino, I highly recommend that you use an external power supply. While it is possible for you to maybe drive it off of the Arduino's own 5-volt power supply, if the motor has to pull much of a load, you could end up hurting something. So I highly recommend an external power supply for that. In addition, on the diagram, you can see that I'm hooking the motor board up to digital pins 2, 3, 4, and 5 on my Arduino. Now, you can use other pins if you want to, but all the code and everything that I'm going to demo is based off those pins, and specifically that the blue coil pin is going to pin 2, the pink coil pin is going to pin 3, the yellow coil pin is going to pin 4, and the orange coil pin is going to pin 5. And those correspond to the N1, N2, N3, and N4 pins over on the ULN2003 driver board. So highly recommend that you hook it up the same way. That way you can follow along with these demos. All right. So I mentioned as you go to hook this up, I highly recommend using an external power supply. You could use some AAA or AA batteries, although you'd need three of them to get to 4.5 volts, which should be close enough for the 5 DC needed by that motor. I found these guys online. These are kind of cool. They're little power supplies. You can just plug like a 5 volt power supply with a 2mm adapter in there, and those snap right onto your breadboard and give you a way to power your rails. Oh, that's pretty cool. You could select between 3.3 and 5 volts, so that's kind of handy. For me, I went just pretty low tech. I just took an old USB cable and snipped the ends off and found the red and the black wires and soldered some jumpers on. So that's going to be what I use for my power supply. On the ULN board, then, where that's going to plug in is into these power jumpers that are here. And you'll notice that there's a minus and a positive right here on the end. And it tells, so the minus would be where ground goes, the plus would be where the positive voltage goes. And it tells you the board supports 5 to 12 volts, although for this motor, you need 5 volts. And then just so you can see it, here's where the N1, N2, N3, and N4 pins are. That's going to be where we actually hook it up to the Arduino. All right, so for the pins themselves, I've got some jumpers. And we're going to go from pin 2 on the Arduino, this is digital pin 2, up to that N pin 1 on that ULN board. And we'll just follow that sequence for 3, 4, and 5. Now for the power, I need to make sure that the Arduino and the ULN board and stepper motor share a common ground. So I'm going to put a jumper in between my Arduino's ground pin, one of them, there's one of its ground pins, and the ground pin, oh, wrong jumper there. There we go. And the ground pin on the ULN2003 board. And then for my power supply, I'll just go ahead and hook a jumper in here to the end of the black wire. And I'm going to plug that into the Arduino's other ground pin. And again, that just makes sure that these two grounds match. We've got a common ground. The voltage lead then goes off to the plus 5 pin on the ULN board. All right. So at this point, I'm pretty ready to go. I've go ahead and plug this guy in. And I'll hook the Arduino up to my computer. And I should be ready to start deploying some code to this. So now that we've got it all hooked up, let's take a look at driving it. Now, if you watch my overview video, I mentioned that inside that motor, there are some coils. One coil has the blue lead coming out of one end, then goes to a red center tap in the middle, and then comes out the other end to the yellow lead. And then the second coil is the pink-orange coil that also has the red center tap in the middle. Now, we are actually going to fire these halves of the coil in a specific sequence. We want to fire the blue, then the pink, then the yellow, then the orange, and that's the way the motor is wired, and that's how we've hooked things up to our Arduino. So as long as we use numerical sequence, then it ought to be in the proper firing sequence. But there's a number of different ways to drive these, and I talk about these in my overview video, so I'm going to hit these really briefly here. But the first thing we're going to take a look at is driving this motor using what's called wave driving. And so with wave driving, we've got those four halves of my coils, the blue, the pink, the yellow, the orange, and we're going to turn on one half at a time. So for wave driving, we're going to turn on just the blue coil, and that's going to attract the magnets on the rotor inside the motor to align with some teeth that the blue coil is energizing. Then we'll turn on just the pink, and the rotor is going to turn the next step to the pink teeth, which just happens to be about 11.25 degrees. Then we'll turn on just the yellow coil, and the rotor will turn to align to that. And then we'll turn on just the orange coil. So there's four coils. One can be on at a time with wave driving. So that means there's basically four steps in a sequence. And then I could just repeat it, blue, then pink, then yellow, then orange. And I just keep doing that over and over and over again. And the rotor is going to turn for me. Now, in this firing sequence, if you're looking at the face of the rotor, that's going to be clockwise, the direction. Of course, I could reverse that order and go orange, yellow, pink, blue to make the rotor turn the other way. So we're just about to jump into the Arduino IDE here and write some code. But first, I wanted to let you know that you can get a copy of all my demo code, as well as my slides, from aka.ms/28byjrepo. And with that, let's jump into the Arduino IDE and start writing some code. I mentioned you can grab all this code up at aka.ms/28byjrepo. And from there, you can just hit the download zip button. And then when you go into the downloads folder, before you extract it, go into the properties on the downloaded zip and unblock it. And that'll just let Windows know that you trust the contents of that file. And then I'm going to just extract that right off the root of my C drive into this 28byj-48-master folder. And so in the Arduino directory under code, here's all the demos that I'm going to be walking through. But I'm going to write this first one kind of by hand. So I'm going to just come pull open the Arduino IDE. I want to make sure that I know that I've got the right Arduino picked. Yep, and that's on COM4, so that's where when I plugged it in, it popped in at, and that it's an Arduino Uno. Good, so I've got that ready to go. So now up here at the top, I need to first declare some variables that I can use to reference my pins. So I'm going to use an integer for the blue pin, and if you recall, we hooked that up to digital pin D2 on the Arduino, and then the pink pin was 3, the yellow pin was 4, and the orange pin was 5. Cool. I also know that I'm going to want to keep track of the current step that I'm in. But remember, for example, with wave driving, there were kind of four sets of pin states. There was the blue one on and all the other ones off. There was the pink one on and all the other ones off. There was the yellow one on and all the other ones off. And then there was the orange one on and all the other ones off. So kind of four different sequences in these series of steps here. And so I want to be able to keep track of which one I'm on. And I'm going to use a zero-based index. So the first one is the first step. That's just the blue one on. One would be the second step. That's just the pink on, etc. Okay, so now that I've got these pins inside my setup method, I need to go get those ready for use. So I'm going to first do a pin mode on those. And we're going to set those up for output. So let me repeat that for the other pins. And then I'm also going to make sure that they're all initialized low to start. Got a typo there. All right. And I'll just save this up really quick Just call it my Wave demo. Looks good. And now I'm ready to jump into the loop. And so I need a little switch statement here that's going to depend on which step we're currently on. And within there, I'm going to have four different cases. Case 0, case 1, case 2, case 3, etc. I want to make sure to remember to break out of these guys. And so inside each one of these cases, I'll just write this first one first and then kind of copy it. I want a digital write, the blue pin to a certain value, as well as the pink pin. In fact, here, we can just copy this code. How about that? That works. Great. And so I'm going to copy this case here. This is just kind of my template right now. Remember, those are my four different conditions. So now in the first one, the first state, the blue pin is high and nothing else is on. In the second state, just the pink pin should be high. In the third state, just the yellow pin should be high. And in the fourth state, just the orange one should be high. All right, there you go. So now, depending on what the current step is, we either energize just the blue, just the pink, just the yellow, or just the orange. It's really that simple. And notice this is pretty brute force. There's much more elegant ways to do this, but this will work. And so now I just need to basically go increment my current step. But if we're past the end, I want to reset here. So I'm going to set the new current step equal to, and we're going to go test to see after I increment the current step, to see if it's still less than 4. And if it is, then we'll go ahead and just assign the new current step. Otherwise, we're going to reset it back to 0. And then I want to set a little delay. And I'm going to start out having this wait 1,000 milliseconds or 1 whole second between each step. And that's going to let us really keep an eye on what's happening down there on the motor. And we can speed it up after that. But let me just save this again really quick. We'll do a compile to make sure everything worked. And I've got some typos there. Pink pin. There we go. Try that again. Orange pin, another typo. All right, and it's compiling. So let me go pin this over here to the side, so to speak. We'll get the camera up. And so now you can see the driver board and the motor. The Arduino's there, but not much is going to happen on the Arduino. But you can actually see these LEDs to see which coil, the blue, the pink, the yellow, or the orange, is being energized at any given time. And then, of course, I just stuck a little zip tie onto the end of the motor shaft there so we have some sort of visual indicator of rotation. And when we talk about clockwise, we're looking at the face of the motor. So clockwise is going to be relative to the face of the motor, counterclockwise would be the opposite direction there. So let's go ahead and give this a try. We're going to run this. Okay, notice that down here then, we can start to see that these coils are in fact being energized in the right sequence. Blue, then pink, then yellow, then orange. And it's a 1 second between each. And if you can tell, the rotor is actually turning. It's just turning really small steps. And I explain sort of what that angle of rotation is when you're in what's called wave driving or full stepping with this motor here. So it is in fact moving. It's just moving really small steps as it goes. So we can make that a little more obvious if we just speed this up. So I'm going to come back over here. And I think you'll find that a sort of a bottom end on the speed is probably about 2 milliseconds. Let's go somewhere in the middle, or maybe not quite the middle, but let's do like maybe 250. So I'll save that and redeploy it. And now notice the going a lot faster, and hopefully now you can see a little bit more that the rotor is in fact turning. Try to give you some reference there. All right, so now let's really go speed it up. We'll just go ahead and knock it all the way down to 2 milliseconds between there. And there you go. Now I can really see that motor going. Pretty cool. Awesome. Now, I think you'll find that 2 is probably the bottom end when you're looking at wave driving, because that rotor has to be able to make the jump over to the other one. And if you do it too fast, it gets confused and it can't figure out which tooth to point at, and it just kind of gets stuck. So I'll demo that here. I'll just set it down to like 1. And redeploy. And you can see it's just frozen. All pins are on so fast that the motor just doesn't know how to turn. So I'm going to bump that back up to 2. And for wave driving, we'll kind of use that as a minimum. There you go. Pretty cool. Now, if you get that, you really get it all. It's really just about deciding which of those coils should be on at any given time and driving those high or driving them low accordingly. But let me show you just a couple other quick examples. So I'm going to close this example up and I'm going to go pull up. Now, that was basically the brute force wave drive, but you've got all that source code in the repo. Let me open up one that allows us to reverse the direction just by setting whether or not we want it to run clockwise or not. So in here, I basically just added a Boolean value to indicate whether or not we want clockwise travel. And so I'm defaulting that to true. You could flip it to false, and you could do that programmatically as well, of course. And then basically in here, all I do is I add this extra line of code that figures out if you're running clockwise, just use the same current step you were before. If not, invert it by subtracting it from the number of cases. And that'll, if it's a 0, I get a 3. If it's a 1, I get a 2. If it's a 2, I get a 1. And if it's a 3, I get a 0. So it's basically going to make those cases get fired in reverse order. And that's what I actually do the switch on. So let's run this. And clockwise is defaulting to true, so it should still continue to run in the same direction, just deployed. And yep, still running clockwise. So let's go flip this and change it to false. But imagine wiring that up to a button and allowing the user to flip that. So we'll deploy it. And now it should go the other direction. Looks good. Awesome. So let me pull another one up. And this one, we're going to add in the ability to set a target number of steps that we want it to run. So in this case, I'm adding in this wave step count. This is just going to help me manage my logic a little bit later. But remember, there's the blue only, pink only, yellow only, orange only in wave stepping. So there's 4 different conditions in that sequence. So anyhow, I'm just storing that in a variable so I can use it later. And then down here, I'm using basically the overall current step, because now this is going to have to be able to run to a target number of steps. And so here for wave and full stepping, it takes 2048 steps for that motor shaft to go all the way around once. And I explain all this stuff in the overview video, so you can go back and watch that. But basically, I need to keep track of the total overall number of steps I've taken relative to the target. And so inside the loop, I have to sort of map the total number of steps, which is now a current step, based on the number of steps in the current sequence to come up with, you know, should I be firing the first, second, third, or fourth case in the sequence. And that's pretty much it. Otherwise, everything else is exactly the same, except down at the bottom. I check to see if we've reached the target, and if we have, I basically invert the direction and run back the other way. So let's run this. And this should start out clockwise and run 2048 steps, which is going to be one full rotation. I kind of started over here and it bounces. There we go. So it's just wherever it starts at. And you could play around with setting the position first, but, and there you go. And so when it hits that, it bounces and goes the other direction. All right. So let me close that example up. And the fourth example here just changes the logic and moves all the states into arrays rather than a big switch block. So remember, we used to have case 0 was only the blue pin was on, case 1 was only the pink pin was on, then only the yellow, then only the orange. And so basically, I've just moved those states into a multidimensional array here. I've also moved my pins into an array. So the first position in this array maps to that pin, the second position maps to that pin, the third position maps to that pin. And down below, I refactored my stepping logic into a step method that allows me to pass in that array of sequences and their coil states, as well as the number of sequences in that array. Otherwise, the current step and sequence, the direction step, that's all the same logic. It's just now, rather than having to have that big switch block, I can just loop through that array and for each pin, fire the appropriate state for the current step in the sequence. Everything else is the same, it's just down here, all I have to do is call that step method. So a little bit easier, run it, and so we should see exactly the same behavior here. Awesome, so it's gonna get to some point, it's gonna bounce. I didn't show you this earlier, but with the target, you know, you don't have to go full rotations, you could go partial rotations. So let's set this down to, for example, let's say 250 or something, and we'll run that. and we should see it just kind of wave back and forth at us, moving 250 steps in each direction and then reversing. Woohoo! All right, so now that we have this set up with arrays, it makes it a lot easier to start talking about the other stepping methods, full stepping and half stepping, so that I don't have to write big different, you know, switch blocks for each one of those. I can just sort of define an easy little array for the different step mechanisms. So let's first go back and talk about those, and then we'll see the code. So we've already covered wave driving, where just one portion of a coil is energized at a time. Just the blue, just the pink, just the yellow, just the orange. And that's all what we just demoed. But with full stepping, we get a little bit of a different behavior. With full stepping, we're going to have two portions of coils energized at any given time. So we actually start out with the blue half of the blue-yellow coil energized, and then the pink half of the pink-orange coil energized. And so we're actually going to have two coils. That's actually going to give a stronger magnetic force, and that means the motor should actually have a little more torque. However, we don't actually change the angle, or we don't change the number of steps. It's the same step angle and same number of steps per rotation as wave driving, just with better torque. So with full stepping, we do blue and pink, then pink and yellow, then yellow and orange, and then orange and blue, and then just repeat again. So still just four sequences or four combinations in the sequence of steps here. With half driving, it's really a combination of the two. We kind of do wave drive, then full step, then wave drive, then full step, then wave drive, then full step. So we start out with just the blue on. That would be kind of like the first step in wave drive. Then we do blue and pink, and that's kind of like the first step in full stepping. But the advantage of this is because we're kind of mixing back and forth between these two, we actually cut the angle of rotation in half. And so now we get a much finer resolution, but it also takes twice as many steps for that rotor to go all the way around once. And again, I fully explain all of this stuff in the overview video. So if you want a deeper review of that, go watch that. But anyhow, with half stepping, we do just the blue, blue and pink, just the pink, pink and yellow, just the yellow, yellow and orange, just the orange, orange and blue. All right. So with half stepping, though, there's one difference. With full stepping and wave drive, there were only sort of four combinations. With half step, there's eight combinations of coil states that I need to take care of. And that's why having all of that code moved up into arrays makes it a lot easier for me. So let's jump over and look at that code. All right, so let's close up the wave drive demo that we had, and let me pull up the full stepping with arrays. And so you'll notice that now up here at the top, the code is identical to what we had before, but I've added in this new set of definitions for full stepping. With full stepping, there's four combinations in the sequence. So here's the first, here's the second, here's the third, here's the fourth. But notice that we have high, high. Blue and pink are both on, then pink and yellow, then yellow and orange, then orange and blue, right? Otherwise, it's going to look just like wave stepping. Now, down here in my loop method, the only thing I really changed is I've commented out the code that I had calling the wave drive step, and I've now replaced it with the details for the full step count and the full step array and the full step count. So if I run this, again, we'll pin it back over here on the side, it's going to look identical to the wave driving. And there you go. Notice it doesn't look any different. What is different, though, is that there's actually more torque on the motor because we actually have two coils energized at once. It can actually pull things along a little bit better with full stepping. And so after all of those demos on wave driving, I was really just trying to build concepts. You don't ever really want to wave drive. You would at least full step. Or if you don't want the large resolution of full step, you could do half stepping. So let me show you that. Half stepping is, again, is going to look pretty much the same, except that now we have eight sequences or combinations in the sequence of steps. So we do just the blue, then the blue and the pink, then just the pink, then the pink and the yellow, then just the yellow, then the yellow and the orange, then just the orange, then the orange and the blue. And that's it. It's just that now our step count is eight. There's eight different steps in this sequence, not just four. Otherwise, it's the same logic again down here in the loop. I simply comment out the wave and full step and instead call that step method with my half step details. Actually, one other difference here, and I'll show you this, because the step angle is half, it's now going to take twice as many steps to go a full rotation. Sorry. So the target is now 4096 to go all the way around once, not 2048. But it's working. Looks like it's going all the way around once and then bouncing back. All right. One other thing is that with half-stepping, you can actually go a little bit faster in terms of how quickly you fire the pins, and that's because the rotor doesn't have to move it as far from one state to the next. But okay, so we now hopefully understand sort of the mechanics of driving this motor with wave, full, or half-stepping, but that was a lot of work to get to this point, and I hate to have to repeat all of this stuff every time I want to go in and, you know, work with one of these motors. And so that's where you'd probably be better off using a library. So let's talk about libraries really quick. So hopefully from those demos, you've learned that you can, in fact, manually write code to drive a stepper motor. But why would you? There's libraries out there that make this so much easier for you. Now, there is actually an Arduino stepper library from Arduino themselves, but it's actually not that great, doesn't support anything other than full stepping. And while you can use it with the 28BYJ, you kind of have to fiddle with the pin mappings when you call the constructor and stuff. So it works, it's there, but there's something better. And since this isn't optimal, I'm not going to demo it. I recommend instead using Excel Stepper from Mike McCauley. Now, this library has a whole bunch of additional features. You can accelerate the motor up and then decelerate it back down. You can run more than one stepper at a time. The API doesn't block your code, supports different kinds of motor configurations and wiring. So just lots of awesome stuff. You can get it from aka.ms/Excel Stepper. So let me jump over and I'm going to show you that. So I mentioned you can get to the Excel Stepper website at aka.ms/Excel Stepper. And basically, this gives you all the information that you need, links off to documentation and support links and that kind of stuff in there. But basically, if you come in here and download this zip file, open that folder up, and same thing, I'm going to unblock this just so Windows doesn't give me grief. And then you would basically take this and extract this into your user documents, Arduino libraries, and that's where you would extract this. Awesome. And so now in that libraries folder, notice I have this Excel Stepper folder, and inside there's the source code and samples and all that kind of stuff for this library. Great. So now that I've got that, I can go back over. In fact, let's close up our old sample. And to my code folder, I'm going to open up one that I already have written that knows how to use that library. We'll pin this over here and get the camera back up. This is running the previous example. But notice up here at the top, I've got an include for the Excel Stepper library, and it's going to find it out of that libraries folder where we just extracted it to. I'm going to define two sort of constants here, half step and full step. Remember, half stepping had 8 steps in the sequence. We already talked about that. Full stepping had 4. Funny how that works. And then I've, just to make things clear here again, I've gone ahead and defined my pin variables back to the colors. And the reason why is that we know from previous examples that we need to fire them in blue, pink, yellow, and orange. However, the Excel Stepper class wants us to construct the class by passing in the ends of each coil first. So one end is the blue, the other end of that is the yellow. Then for the other coil, one end is pink and the other end is orange. So I don't actually pass them in firing order. I pass them in coil end order. Blue then yellow is one coil, pink then orange is the other. So that's why I kind of declared them by their color name, so it kind of makes it obvious. Plus, I tell it that I'm half-stepping with this. Otherwise, I've got the similar logic to what we had before. You know, whether or not we're turning clockwise, what my target position is, etc. But look how much simpler my code is. So first of all, in setup here, I can just go take this stepper that I declared up here and tell it what speed I want it to start at, how fast I want it to accelerate. Now the speeds, you'll need to go read the documentation on Excel Stepper. He has a whole bunch of magical logic that he uses behind the scenes to figure out how fast this thing should actually run. But I will say that if you looked at the way I controlled speed before was by reducing the delay between steps. Shorter delay meant faster turn, right? Here, however, higher numbers mean faster numbers. So if I, you know, set my speed to 1,000, that's going to go faster than 100. But read the documentation that you can understand that. We'll start at 100. We're going to accelerate by 100. We won't go over 4,000 if we ever get there in the first place. And then from wherever we start, I'm going to tell it to move to my target position. And my target position is that same 4096 that we were talking about before. Now my loop is nothing more than checking to see if the stepper doesn't have any more distance to go Then we'll go ahead and invert our clockwise and tell it to go back to position zero. So notice now I can just tell it what position to go to and then tell it to run and it'll go there. So that's pretty cool. Otherwise, we'll invert and go back to the target position. So this goes to target position to zero to target position to zero, inverting my clockwise as it goes. Pretty cool. So let me deploy this. Looks good. Notice how it gets faster. You can watch the LEDs. It's kind of fun to watch it get there and speed up and slow down. Slows down when it gets to the end, reverses directions, speeds back up, rotates back the other way. And you can see where that acceleration and deceleration would be important if I'm trying to drive maybe the wheels on a robot or even the track along some CNC machine or something like that, because I don't want it to slam into the end. So it's not going to be as accurate. So accelerating and decelerating down gives me a lot more control over that. I know it's probably not cool to say the word cool anymore, but I think stepper motors are cool. And hopefully after watching this video, you agree. I'm Brett Statham, and I'll see you next time on The Maker Show.